The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back. Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. I am Seth Liebson. 602-508-0960 is the 10-digit number for you to join us with anything on your mind or anything you want to add. Young David, good to see you. My producer, David Dahl. Miss Terry is here. Mr. Bill has the day off. We shall labor on. I was mentioning yesterday the fear that suffused and confused so much of society during COVID and how curious it all was. As 4 years out from the 15 days to slow the spread of COVID comes upon us this week, there are a lot of stories coming out now from the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, to the New York Times. Glenn Reynolds, writing at the New York Post, is now issuing his mea culpas for supporting stronger and strong government policies, saying he should have been more skeptical, writing, with the evidence now in, the strategies we deployed were worse than the virus. The economy still hasn't recovered from the distortions COVID measures introduced. Binge drinking and alcohol-related liver diseases are up. Children's education and development have been decimated, and the nation has suffered a deep and widespread loss of trust in institutions, which, to be fair, is entirely justified. What a few of us were saying at the time is interesting to go back and read. One of the things I was saying is be wary because to the left, everything always sucks. It's Barry Maguire ethics. We're always on the eve of destruction, or if you prefer REM, it's the end of the world as we know it. Millions were to die from the population bomb in the 1970s, you'll recall. Millions more in the nuclear winter of the 1980s. Global warming and the ecosystem destruction in the 90s up until now was the vogue and has been the vogue of fright. Trump and Goldwater and Reagan weren't just conservatives or Republicans. They were Nazis, Hitlers, and fascists. Donald Trump, as Joe Biden puts it, is an existential threat to the Constitution when not to the democracy. We lost an ethic of things more important than life. We used to have an ethos that there were things more important than life. We lost that. We started out here saying, give me liberty or give me death, pledging our sacred honor and lives for that, right? Later in the Civil War, the North marched against the South, singing something called the Battle Hymn of the Republic with the lyrics, as he died to make men holy, we shall die to make men free. Then in the 1950s and 60s, the phrase, better dead than red, was the call. Indeed, as recently as 1983, President Reagan was speaking of that and said as much in his Evil Empire speech, with a haunting story about a man who said he'd rather his daughter die believing in God than live in a country that ripped him away from her, where he would have to live on his knees. Every member of the military knows this ethic, that there are some things more important than life, i.e., for example, country. Michael Barone wrote that life in America was a contest between soft America and hard America, and soft America, ironically enough, won. Too many kids have needed safe spaces and been coddled, including perhaps starting with ideas. This is new. Adam Carolla's testimony to Congress some few years ago was prophetic. He said, we're talking a lot about the kids, and I think they're just that, kids. We are the adults. And I don't think we're doing the children, these 18 and 19-year-old kids at these college campuses, any favors. They grew up dipped in Purell, playing soccer games where they never kept score and watching Wow Wow Wubsy, and we're asking them to be mature. Well, we need the adults to start being the adults. Studies have shown that if you take people and put them in a zero-gravity environment like astronauts, they lose muscle mass. They lose bone density. We're taking these kids in the name of protection, and we're putting them in a zero-gravity environment. They are losing muscle mass and bone density. They need to live in a world that has gravity. You need to expose children to germs and dirt and the environment to build up all of their immune systems. Our plan has been to put them in the bubble, keep them away from everything, and somehow think they will come out stronger when they emerge from the bubble. And it's not happening. Eric Greitens put it this way in a letter to his children. "My best teachers used a lot of red ink," he wrote. "To the extent I do some things well, it's because they pointed out the things I did wrong. Sure, it didn't always feel good, but they were right to correct me. They were right to worry more about deepening my learning than damaging my ego. There's wisdom in all that red ink." Our culture forgets this. It's a culture that, out of concern, will try to shield you. You'll get trophies for showing up. Your teachers will fret about giving you a bad grade. You'll get told not to read books because they contain a few bad words. If you're not careful, you'll end up encased in bubble wrap. Don't let that happen. Remember, this leads to a culture of brittle people. If you avoid what might offend or bother you, you're also missing out on things that will stretch and strengthen you. Discomfort is the warm-up act to growth. Steve Moore's group, the Committee to Unleash Prosperity, put out a study this morning of 10 lessons learned, or perhaps unlearned but needing to be learned. I'll share the first three. Lesson number one, leaders should calm public fears, not stoke them. Conventional wisdom pre-COVID was that communities respond best to pandemics when the normal social functioning of the community is least disrupted. During COVID, the public health establishment followed the opposite principle. They intentionally stoked and amplified fear, which overlaid enormous economic, social, educational, and health harms on top of the harms of the virus itself. Non-COVID excess deaths from lockdowns and societal panic are estimated at about 100,000 per year in the United States. Zero in non-lockdown Sweden. Lesson two, lockdowns do not work substantially to reduce deaths or stop viral circulation. Most lockdown measures were realized around the time when hospitalizations peaked, which, due to the time lag between infection and severe disease, necessarily occurs well after the infective peak. They were timed to claim credit for declining waves, but rarely had any discernible causal impact. A comprehensive literature review was conducted by Herbie Janung and Henke and published in an authoritative peer-reviewed book by the Institute of Economic Affairs in London. The Herbie Jung Henke Johns Hopkins research found this, quote, "Lockdowns in the spring of 2020 had a negligible effect on COVID mortality. This result is consistent with the view that voluntary changes in behavior, such as social distancing, did play an important role in mitigating the pandemic." Close quote. A much wiser strategy than issuing lockdown orders would have been to tell the American people the truth, stick to the facts, educate citizens about the balance of risks, and let individuals make their own decisions about whether to keep their businesses open, whether to socially isolate, attend church, send their children to school, and so on. Lesson number three, lockdowns and social isolation had negative consequences that far outweighed benefits. According to the World Bank, quote, "Mobility restrictions, lockdowns, and other public health measures produced the largest global economic crisis in more than a century," close quote. In a comprehensive and authoritative review of lockdown harms, Kevin Bardosh concluded, quote, "The promotion of lengthy social distancing restrictions by governments and scientific experts during the COVID crisis had severe consequences for hundreds of millions of people. Many original predictions are broadly supported by the cumulative research data presented above. A rise in non-COVID excess mortality, mental health deterioration, child abuse and domestic violence, widening global inequality, large increases in debt, food insecurity, lost educational opportunities, unhealthy lifestyle behaviors, increased loneliness and social polarization, democratic backsliding and human rights violations. The pandemic response leaves behind a legacy of poverty, mental health illness, learning loss, debt, food insecurity, polarization, erosion of respect for human rights, and elevated excess mortalities. The employment impact in the United States was staggering, with lockdowns putting over 49 million Americans out of work, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and over 2 million remaining out of work due to closures as recently as 2022. I could go on, but in the end, I will quote Adam Carolla once again. COVID took out a lot of people, most of them still alive. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960, coming to you live from the 960 Patriot Broadcasting Studios, which is brought to you by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. Young David, I need to get out more. I went to...
What'd you do?
Well, I went to the restroom.
And it was being thank you for telling me.
Well, it was being cleaned, so I couldn't go in. So I went and sought higher ground to the seventh floor.
Okay.
Have you been in there?
Wood paneling, right?
Well, that's not what's interesting. I saw something I've never seen before. There's three at the sink. There's three, you know, devices.
Devices.
The pipe looking like devices.
Gotcha. Are those called sinks?
Well, the sinks, but over the sink where the faucet is, one is a faucet. So I assume one is a faucet and one is a soap dispenser. No idea what the other one is, and it's not clear which one is which.
Okay.
Theoretically, one of the faucets could be hot water, one could be cold. Back in, that used to be a case with sinks when you had two different spouts, right?
Do you know it's still mostly the case in England that way?
Okay.
Yeah.
But not the seventh floor.
But not the seventh
floor. In the seventh floor here.
Okay.
You haven't been there. I've never seen what I saw. It's one faucet that distributes the water, one that automatically dispenses soap. And do you know what that third one is? I found
is
out.
It a little dryer? Or
yes,
something?
A hand dryer. Yes, a hand dryer. I've never seen that before. You knew about this.
Well, I've been to the seventh floor. I just didn't quite remember.
You didn't think it was a big deal?
Maybe. They don't have those at the Dirty Drummer.
they don't have them here on the fifth floor. Why do we get short shrift in our bathrooms?
Well, let's put in a letter writing campaign and see if we can't change up the faucet.
I want a hand air dryer in our right over the sink. I've never seen that before anywhere.
Maybe we could get like a little wall shaver while we're at it and things like that. We won't have to shave in the mornings. I can just come to work and do it and all sorts of fun stuff like that. Little goodies, you know, a medicine cabinet.
This is a big story. The Supreme Court has allowed Texas SB 4 law to continue as it gets heard through the appellate processes. You will recall that that law was stayed, and this is the law that was signed into law. This was the bill that was signed, legislation that was signed into law by Greg Abbott in Texas, Governor Abbott in Texas, that allows local authorities in Texas to make arrests, make detentions of those who are illegally crossing into Texas. And a couple questions arise on this. First of all, I can't help myself, but I had to go to the New York Times to see what their headline was. Uncertainty on border after Supreme Court allows Texas to arrest migrants. Uncertainty on border. I would say the uncertainty was everything up in until Texas decided to enforce its own borders. Uncertainty. Now it's uncertain? What's going to happen at the border? No, it's not. I'll tell you, there is now a certainty if Texans, and I have every reason to believe they will, take it seriously. and allow and enforce officials to arrest and deport illegal immigrants who enter the state without legal authority to do so. That is a certainty. We have been operating in uncertainty. The certainty is now you cannot cross into Texas. Now, there's little hope that anything like that would pass in Arizona with this governor. And the legislature, who knows, is so closely divided, I'm not even sure we could pass a similar law right now. But I'll tell you what's a little curious to me. The Biden administration clearly has a very warped view of the notion of border security, to put it no higher, a very warped view. They don't want to enforce the border. They want to lie to us about the border. They want to tell us it's secure. If you are the vice president, you want to laugh and cackle about having not been there in the same way that you haven't been to France. Well, she's now been to France and still hasn't been to the border. She was not given the French portfolio or the French ambassadorship. She was given the border portfolio. If you are the president, you will go to the least animating part, the least egregious part of the border for a photo op, which will look bad, as he did 2 weeks ago, as he needed help walking on the little strip of land he walked on with Customs and Border Enforcement as his guides, as his aides. But he went to that place where there is no problem. In any event, they don't want to highlight the problem at the border. They do not want to enforce the border. And yet they know they have a problem on their hands. They know that immigration has now become not only the number one issue surpassing the economy in many polls, but a number one issue amongst many of their fellow partisans in the Democratic Party. They know they have a problem, is my point. But they have, as I was saying yesterday, as Thomas Jefferson put it, the wolf by the ears or the tail. They don't know whether to hold on or to let go, and what would be worse. So why not, Solomonically, in a political sense, let Texas do what Texas wants to do? Why would they fight Texas at the Supreme Court? This is what I don't understand. Well, I do in a sense. They're fighting Texas because they hate Texas, or they hate the idea that Texas is going to do what they refuse to do. They hate the idea that Texas will overrule their judgments about what is needed to be done with and regarding the border. They hate that. I get that. But ultimately, they also know what's coming across and who's coming across the border. Here's a headline today. African illegal alien on terror watch list arrested after allegedly opening fire at business. An illegal alien from near the Middle East was arrested last week in North Carolina after opening fire at a business and subsequently attacking law enforcement officers. That is going to become an increasingly common headline, that kind of headline. Another member from a terror watch list detained. Not in Texas. Not in Arizona. Committing crimes in other states of the country. Texas and Arizona are becoming not just the border states that they have always been, but the border states to the rest of the country. I don't know why the administration wouldn't just kind of sotto voce, wink and nod, and maintain what it wants to with its left-wing base, while allowing states like Texas to do what Texas needs to do. That's what I don't understand. Hubris. Hubris. And it is the downfall of every administration. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. John Dombrowski, he is the founder and president of Grand Canyon Planning Associates, grandcanyonplanning.com. His great website, a great place to go to reach out to him or to see about what Grand Canyon Planning may be able to do for you. He joins us for a culture and economy update. How are you, John?
Fantastic, Seth. How you doing?
Good. I'm sorry I was laughing listening to the Bee Gees because we had a breaking news interruption from young David last week about the Bee Gees, and it was every part of it wrong, so I'll never be able to hear them again. All right, this is kind of interesting. You probably have to deal with this a ton. So all the indexes are nearer approaching or at all-time highs right now.
Right, major indexes, sure.
Yeah. So do people think what? Too late to get in, not to continue to invest, wait, and maybe just let things compound? How do you deal with a situation of success like this?
Well, it's a great question. So as an example, you're saying that all the major indexes, right, the Dow,
S&P,
the S&P
NASDAQ,
500,
Russell.
Right. Yeah,
I think even Bitcoin, but I'm not sure.
Well, let's bring Bitcoin into this as well, because Bitcoin did hit an all-time high above, I think, 73,000, which now it's dropped down below, I think, 63,000.
Yeah, it went down a little, yeah.
So, you know, that's down about 15% from its high.
Right.
So does that mean we should buy it? I don't know. Sometimes is that a falling knife? Do you catch a falling knife? Or, you know, and conversely, right, if the major indexes, the S&P today, I think, closed at an all-time high, should we not buy it anymore?
Right.
That's probably not the approach. Again, if you're looking for long-term investing, it's first of all impossible to time the markets, right? We can't. If you're going to try to time the markets, you'll probably wind up losing, just as many others have done in the past. It's really time in the market, right? As you invest, and we talk about dollar cost averaging, reinvesting dividends is another way to continue to gain that power of compounding.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, if we look at charts of these indexes over time, over years, historically these have performed very well and created a lot of wealth for people.
Okay.
But if you look at a snapshot of a period in time and think, well, you know, now's the time to invest or now's not the time to invest, just it's very difficult. And I think that's you're setting yourself up for failure. So even though the markets are at all-time highs right now, I think we have to take into account, Seth, 2022 is a very difficult year.
Yeah.
We had rampant inflation. We saw the stock market pulling back. We saw bond prices pulling back because interest rates were rising. Everything was falling except real estate, right?
Yeah.
But everything was falling when it comes to the stock market. And of course, during that period of time, were people rushing in to try to buy into the market? No, they weren't, but they should have been, right?
Yeah.
Because it was falling at that point. And we know historically that over time, you know, no guarantees, of course, but historically, these usually will recover. It's a question of time. But if you're a long-term investor, if you would have stayed the course, if you would have continued to invest in your 401k, dollar cost averaging in, you would have been buying as everything was falling. And then you would have now had a lower cost basis. So as everything recaptured those losses, and now we're hitting all-time highs again, you would have done much better than if you just tried to time the market. So it's at an all-time high right now. Do we continue to invest? Yes, you should continue to invest. But you should talk to your advisor. Make sure that you're not overly aggressive or underly aggressive, too conservative for your situation. And yes, I believe you should still continue to invest.
And does it matter the index? Does it matter the difference between the Dow Jones and the NASDAQ, let us say, when you're advising people on long-term and short-term, or is it really across the indexes?
It does matter.
Okay.
You know, certain sectors of the market will outperform others. Yeah. If we're thinking about momentum right now, we think about the NASDAQ. We think about the technology sector, right? That has really been driving the markets. Even in the S&P 500, it's made up of 11 sectors. Technology is one of those sectors that has really carried the S&P 500 to the all-time highs. So we may want to not only own an index fund, but we also may want to own maybe one sector or two sectors of an index that can give us a little bit more opportunity for growth based on what's happening in the economy.
Well done, John. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
You bet. Again, folks can reach me by going to our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. You can request an appointment there. Securities and advisory services offered through Creative One Securities LLC, a member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor, Grand Canyon Planning Associates LLC, and Creative One Securities LLC, and not affiliated. Thank you, Seth.
That's James Bond, all-time high. Who is that? Sheena Easton? Who sang that? I can't remember. Rita Coolidge. Well done.
Rita Coolidge.
Right. Thank you, John.
Yep.
Welcome back. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Friends, the folks at Midas Gold Group have told me the U.S. government and the Fed will have no choice but to eventually steer interest rates lower, because if they don't, the current level of interest rates will bankrupt the nation. There's no telling when the dam will break, but when it does, Midas wants to make sure you have flood insurance. In this case, gold. Call Midas Gold Group now. Look into the opportunities gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Give them a call at 480-360-3000 or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Midas Gold Group is the nation's number one veteran-owned gold IRA firm. Protect your assets. Call 480-360-3000. That's 480-360-3000. Midas Gold Group, always faithful. MidasGoldGroup.com. There was a hearing on Capitol Hill today, and it is the kind of thing that you'll probably get one day's story out of in the major newspapers because it is embarrassing to the Biden administration. This was at the House Foreign Affairs Committee under Chairman McCaul. Here's the CNN opening line. The two senior generals in charge of the U.S. military during the withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021 both blamed the State Department and the White House for not sooner ordering a non-combatant evacuation operation for remaining U.S. citizens in Afghanistan. Retired General Kenneth McKenzie, the head of CENTCOM, former commander at U.S. Central Command, said, quote, "The events of mid and late August 2021 were the direct result of delaying the inflation of the evacuation for several months until, in fact, we were in extremis and the Taliban had overrun the country." Later testimony said that their advice from the Pentagon was not taken at the White House and was not taken from the State Department. You know, if the Washington Post had any measure of fairness. Isn't it interesting that in an age of constant and continual invocations and demands for equity, that the major institutions that call for it show no interest in committing to it themselves when it comes to issues of politics? Remember that, what? 30,000 lies the Washington Post kept a tote board of regarding Donald Trump, most of them ridiculously small things having to do with bragging and stuff like that. They don't have that list with Joe Biden. They don't have a list like that with Joe Biden. Just yesterday, Joe Biden gave a speech. Just yesterday, gave a speech repeating the lie that has already earned him four Pinocchios for being a complete fabrication of hiking a plateau in Tibet with Xi Jinping. He keeps telling that story. It's been rated totally untrue. Washington Post won't add that to their list and running tote board of lies for Joe Biden. They have no such list. How about the lie that he said that the evacuation and withdrawal from Afghanistan was, in his words, an extraordinary success? Now, if you want to say that Donald Trump is given to exaggeration, how do you call the withdrawal from Afghanistan an extraordinary success? Those are Joe Biden's words, an extraordinary success. What an insult. What an insult to our normative intelligence. What an insult to the families and friends of the 13 soldiers who lost their lives in it. General Milley today said he could not tell you how many Americans were left behind. Could not tell you how many Americans left behind. Do you get a sense that over at the White House and its affiliated departments that the left hand does not know what the far left hand is doing? This is the same place that didn't have a Secretary of Defense for 72 hours and no one knew that. It's the same place that in the midst of two wars going on with allies of ours, we didn't have a Secretary of Defense and the Deputy Secretary of Defense had command authority and she didn't know it. This is a 72 hours in the midst of two wars amongst and between our friends, including two of our allies. And the president is not talking with our Secretary of Defense. No one knew he was missing in action. Well, he, as it turned out, was in the hospital, having not informed relevant people at the White House. You know why? I mean, I'm still curious about why General Austin didn't do this. And I don't know if it has to do with what he was saying about, you know, personal privacy with regard to the procedures he was having. So much as you sometimes get a sense, I've heard this from cabinet officials, that you just know the White House doesn't care about you. You're irrelevant to them. You are basically marking time and waiting for them to call you when they want something. If that's the case with our Department of Defense, which I think is an equiprobable conclusion, as much as probable that Lloyd Austin didn't inform operations at the White House because of his medical privacy concerns, I think it is equiprobable that he just knows, the Department of Defense just knows, this White House is really doesn't care about them. I remember talking to a former director of the CIA about his tenure, and it was very short. And he said it was deliberately short on my part because the White House was a circus. We couldn't execute on anything. And it was his judgment in taking leave of his directorate that that would be the best thing to do for him, because he couldn't get the attention of the White House. By the way, I will just tell you, this was probably one of the finer people to ever head the CIA. White House political decisions can have hugely terrible national security consequences and implications. We're seeing it with the border. We're seeing it with Homeland Security as much as we are seeing it with the Department of Defense. You saw it with Joe Biden not talking at all with the head of Customs and Border Patrol at all. Two directors of the Customs and Border Patrol, and he hasn't spoken with them. It tells you where the commitments of this White House are. Customs and Border Protection. What did I say? Patrol. It's CBP. Customs and Border Protection. And he simply didn't, had no interest. There is no interest. I don't know where his interests are. I don't know if they're with the economy. I don't know if they're with politics and, you know, doing political campaigning. I guess he's in Phoenix today. Did you know this, young David? Do you know where he is?
I don't think anybody knows where he is.
Usually, did you see any roads shut down or anything like that?
No, he was in Nevada earlier this morning. I'm sure he's airborne right now.
Yeah, it's not that long of a flight. I don't know. I mean, look out your window. See if your ride home is going to be delayed. We'll happily spend it with you. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. My point about equity, if the Washington Post cared as much about equity as it says it would be posting these lies of Joe Biden the way they did Donald Trump. This is the Big Red commercial, right? Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Portions of Ritzer were brought to you by our good friends at YRefi. They have an investment in a secure and collateralized portfolio where you get a monthly statement with no surprises, where there is no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. With YRefi, there are absolutely no fees, and you can turn your income on or off, compound it, whatever you like. Best of all, with YRefi, you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. You can visit them in person. They're headquartered here in Phoenix. Their offices are on Chauncey Lane in North Phoenix. You won't get a sales pitch. You won't be asked to sign a thing. Or you can visit them online at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refy.com. Or call them at 888-YREFI-24, 888-YREFI-24. Young David, you said you wanted to say something to someone in our vast audience.
Sure, I'd like to give a shout-out to somebody whom I met on the road today. He was actually working in our building.
Okay.
So we want to give a shout-out from the Seth Leibson Show to Rob, who is working in our building today. And he said he listens almost every day.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yep.
What does Rob do in the building?
Construction work. He doesn't work in our building. He was working on our building.
Oh, okay. On top?
Underneath.
On, but underneath. Oh, working. Okay, I'm
with
you.
He was a worker.
Oh,
he was working.
It. And his name is Ron.
Rob.
I got everything wrong about this.
Yes.
Let's try it again. Let's do this like we know what we're doing and we're professionals. Listener Rob, thank you very much.
Thank
we appreciate
you for listening every
you
day.
Betcha.
Thank you for flagging down the station vehicle.
You betcha. That's very kind. Thanks for doing that, David. And thanks for all you're doing, Rob, too. All right. Jeff is in Scottsdale. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Seth, thanks for taking my call. You know, I don't think Biden wants us to know where he's going to be in Phoenix today because he'd have too many people showing up to heckle the heck out of him.
To heckle the heck out of him? I like that. Yeah, heckle the heck.
Even the special occasion, just go to that guy. He's the only president I've ever emailed, never got a response from him, but the border is an absolute disgrace.
It's a disgrace.
And I've sent him numerous emails about it, but you never get a response.
You've emailed other presidents and gotten responses?
I've never emailed another president other than this guy, and he's never gotten back to me.
But, I wrote one letter to one president once, and it was when I was we were learning about addresses and zip codes in the first grade. And the president was Gerald Ford. So we all had the task of writing a letter to someone. Most people chose aunts and uncles and cousins and things like that. I chose the president of the United States. I wrote to Jerry Ford. And I remember how I signed off on it. It's a little cheesy, but, you know, I was in the first grade. Red, white, and blue, I like you. He wrote me back.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.